you all. It's great to be here, but I'm always here. Just happen to be not up here all the time. In fact, I'm usually in front of a lot of people that I have to keep my eye on while I'm speaking, and I can't see a thing, so I'm kind of nervous now. You know, when you're in prison, you know, you're even taught to pray with your eyes open because you don't know what's going on. So, just letting you know that I trust you all. Nobody's going to escape while I'm speaking, I assume. I do have a message today, but I thought I'd start off with a little bit of updates with Freedom From Within. You know, Freedom From Within has been around for over a decade. And, you know, in 2013 time frame, I was called to lead a workshop at a state prison. I was running my business at the time, my for-profit business, and I thought it was a cool gig to go do that, going to the prison. Didn't know what the Lord had in store for me then. And then time went on. Next thing you know, I was involved with co-authoring four books called Transformational Rhythm, the Transformational Rhythms Program, to help the incarcerated build a foundation that can sustain them while they're incarcerated, but also so when they go home, they don't have to return. It's been 8 years that I've been full-time, meaning that I left that business that I started, and my wife and I started Freedom From Within officially. During that time, it's also ordained here, right on this stage here, by this church, both my wife and I, into prison ministry. It all started with an invite in 2013. I want to tell you a little bit about, if we go to the next slide here, what's been happening since 2018. We've had almost 2,000 graduates. 2,000 graduates. Not everybody goes home right afterwards, and so there's been 575 that have been released. And out of that, over 97% of those that have been released since 2018 are functioning and thriving in the world today. We teach godly principles. We teach that there's a way, and then there's this other way. It's the fake way. It's like good intentions is another way. I'm just going to try and see if I do well. But God's word doesn't teach us that. It says it's the only way. But if you go to the next slide, you're going to see that this is where all the prisons that we reached, those little dots there in the state of Illinois. And I found that our program was so successful, yet it was very difficult for us to scale or to grow the ministry. There's a lot of reasons for that. One is going into prison just isn't a lot of fun. People at the gate don't want you there. They don't believe change is possible. But once you get past that, you see these empty souls. They're just looking for a way out, both literally, but also internally. And so this year, I made a decision that to stop kicking the can down the road and taking a step forward and a couple steps backwards as far as how do you expand what I believe God has ordained us with. And so I made a decision to take our program and produce a digital replication of that program so we can reach more people. And so if you go to the next slide, as of September of this year, Our program is in over 1,400 prisons and jails. You know, sometimes you just have to get over yourself, you know, because, you know, let's face it, you say, well, you know, being in person has got to be better, which I'm sure it is. But compared to zero, compared to people that aren't able to hear the word in a practical way, we've got to look for creative ways to do that. You know, we serve the ultimate creator, and he made us to create and to innovate. And so while it's only been 2 months, we've been seeing amazing results. Thousands of people now are interacting with our program. But at the same time, we also got opened up other doors, another relationship with an author by the name of Lynn Farrell. She wrote a program for women. And up to this point, we never went to women's prisons. The joke was that it was always too scary to go there, but we just didn't have the door open. And all of a sudden the door opened, and so we also digitized her book called Seen, S-E-E-N, to help women that are incarcerated, the 70,000 women in the country that are incarcerated, to know that they are seen by the Lord. But we also did another thing. How many people appreciate the message from Pastor Josh? Do you think it's pretty good? Do you think it's worthy to be shared with people that are incarcerated? And so if you go to the next slide, we took his 12 best, I shouldn't say best, it was really just give me the best of, and he called it this thing called the Living in God's Truth Series. And we published this on the same platform that is now in this private, special access to prisons and jails. You may recollect some of these topics like Jesus' perfect theology and satanic philosophy. Those are all in there. And then we actually created a questions and answers, or questions for people to answer and engage. And since October, 444 people have actually been watching, unique individuals been watching this series in 247 prisons so far in just the first 2 months. This church here is now in places that couldn't be reached before. And we're getting feedback like, phenomenal, one of the best out of Kansas. We knew that. We know that. It was very timely during my incarceration to be able to finally hear the truth. It's amazing how the truth is so, I don't know, relative in the world. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. And so today I'm going to be talking about, next slide, truth versus good intentions. The truth versus good intentions. Do you trust the truth? Or are they just good intentions? Well, yeah, you know, there's certain things in my life I'm all in on, but this other stuff, I don't know. So my message today, I don't know, maybe it's going to affirm you in some of the things that you're doing. Maybe it's a good reminder. Or it's going to touch a nerve. Because you know what, truth, when you're honest with yourself and you know that you're not lining up with some of the truths, becomes offensive. And so my intention, my good intention, is not to offend anyone. But like Josh says, you know, if you got a problem with it, bring it up with the Lord, which is really going to be my last point today, is to take it up with the Lord. You've heard the saying, good intent, or, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But, you know, they're good. They're good intentions. So why is that a bad thing? And so let's just go ahead and put this in perspective. And so if you look at John 10:10, I'm sure you're all familiar with. In fact, you'll probably be familiar with all the scriptures that I bring out today. There's one side, the truth, which is, I came so that you would have life and have it in abundance. That's the truth. You could take a look and disagree with it or whatever, but that doesn't matter because that's what the Lord said. But then he also says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And if you're honest with yourself, a lot of times our good intentions has these weird side effects. It wasn't my intention that something didn't go the way that it went. I thought I was protecting this person, so I didn't say this thing. I'm sure many of us have family members that are so dear to our heart that don't know the Lord. And one of the reasons is because we're afraid. And so our good intentions is to keep things civil now, even though that there's eternal consequences. See, Jesus talks about our yes needs to be yes, and our no needs to be no. Anything else is from the evil one. Next verse. This is my life verse. If you've seen me speak before, I pretty much bring this up all the time. In fact, even just me bringing it up now, all right, I want you to remember this because I remember, this is how I keep things focused. It says that I, or you, or we, are God's masterpiece. See, if you don't believe that, it's going to impact the way you see the world. In fact, I would argue that how you see yourself is the measure that you're going to use to see other people. And so if you don't see yourself as a masterpiece, say you see yourself here, everybody else is going to be in between that. It impacts the way you see the world. Imagine somebody who's incarcerated, who's got all this guilt and so forth, and they feel like this. Or they're the victim of other things. They certainly don't feel like God was on purpose when they created him, because it continues on and says that he has created us anew in Jesus Christ. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, I was going to get all like, you know, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to one-up Josh, you know, with his, you know, he brings in his Greek and all this stuff, you know. And I'm like, all right, that's fine, but, you know, I'm going to tank it because I don't speak Greek. But, you know, you start looking at the word good. And in fact, if you recall, in Genesis, God uses the word good several times. And then he kind of ends it with, like, very good. Like, very good. The creation is very good. And so I did a little bit of research. It turns out that very good can be translated, I'm going to just embarrass myself, to omiod. What does that mean? Well, if you go in there and it says, I looked at some Jewish scholars to tell me what this means, and it says that it is the highest degree of perfection and success. The highest degree of perfection and success. Do you consider yourself as a byproduct of God's creation to be a success? Because it was planned from the beginning of time. You know, my truth. Josh doesn't like when you say that. But you know what? You got to have integrity with whatever it is that you believe. And so when I say my truth, it doesn't mean just a truth or a random truth. But it's like, all right, I'm trying. This is where I'm at. In our ministry, I don't see anything in the scriptures to say that God's plan was to incarcerate people. That's not his plan. Now, before you go off on me and talk about, oh, are you one of those soft on crime guys? No, I'm all good with the laws of the land. But, you know, you go into the Department of Corrections, you're supposed to be correcting. And so I tell people, I stand in front of my students, and I say, hi, my name's Cliff. You're in this program. We have a great success rate. It's 97.1% of our graduates are actually doing well in the world since 2018. Because it's not, God doesn't pick some and not others. He created you as a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. All of you. I remember the very first time one of our students went off the rails and returned back to prison. Broke my heart. His intentions were to love the Lord. It seemed like he was walking the walk. But you know, when you love, it's pretty hard not to love after that. And so, is it possible that it was just his good intentions, but his truth inside, he didn't really believe it. He didn't really believe that he was actually a masterpiece with good things that God planned for him long ago. In fact, his story, without getting too much in the weeds, he was building, he was gone for 13 years, and he was starting to build it back. Things were going his way, and then I don't know what happened. Snap. The next thing you know, we get a phone call, and now he's doing 25. And then you ask the question, well, Cliff, maybe you're not being realistic. Maybe some are just not going to change. But you know what? That really messes up with my understanding of who God is. It messes up with, like, so I'm supposed to go ahead and lower it because of the hard work? Let's face it, people are messy. People carry a lot of stuff with them. Can I love somebody enough to get them through that? You know, when the Lord called me to leave a well-paying job, this is back in the 90s, that was like centuries ago, to start my own business. It all started from me simply doing something that we've all seen. If you go to the next slide, it says, ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the ones who seek finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. I remember crying out to the Lord, just saying, Lord, I understand that there's good things planned for my life. And I'm really happy. I'm really thankful for the job that I have. But I've been called to something else. I just feel like it, you know. Yeah, but you know, you can't do that because, you know, you got two small kids and, you know, you got bills to pay. And the Lord's like, who's telling you that? Am I not going to take care of you if I put this in your heart? And see, I learned that God identifies principles to live by. And these principles, whether you like them or not, is irrelevant. They exist, whether you like it or not. Godly principles, like, hey, knock, and doors will be open. Well, yeah, you know, Cliff, I've knocked before, no doors have opened. Okay. Did you knock again? Did you ask? Did you seek? Did you seek the Lord in that? See, principles exist whether you like it or not. They're either going to work for you or work against you. And if you don't believe them, if it's just good intentions, well, you know what? All right, I'm going to go ahead. Josh would boo the microphone. But did you get involved with knocking, but deep down you really didn't believe it? You didn't trust the truth? Everybody thought that I was off the rails, leaving a company to start and go to nothing. But I learned that if you put God first and you create something with God first, things kind of flow good. If I started a business where it was all about the money, after 30 years, it was 30 years ago this month actually that I started this company, I'm pretty sure that it would not have lasted that long. In fact, we would do God family work because that's how I saw that read the scriptures. And so we created this company that became fairly successful. Had hundreds of employees over that time. And we'd tell everybody, God, family, work. This is the principle. This is how God's economy works. And then you know what happened, right? In the business, all of a sudden a customer's down our throat, and you know, and they're just, you know, very being difficult. And running out of time on a particular project, and then one of my key employees ends up, you know, having a family emergency, and you have to decide: do you really believe that God is number one, and that family is super important, and work is in that third category? And time again, I would wrestle, and I'd say, hey, take care of your family. We'll figure it out. Every single time it worked out. Every single time. They would go take care of their family, and it worked out. I didn't know how it was going to work out any of those times. See, if you trust the truth, it works out. Financial issues. That's the big one. What is your financial threshold when it comes to trusting God? For me, I made a decision that I was not going to go into debt when I started my company. And the reason is because the next slide tells us very clearly. I mean, it's a blueprint. It says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You just can't do it. You think you might. Your intentions might be good. But you can't do it. when 9/11 occurred and the world was like all in turmoil, my company was doing just fine because we had no debt. Banks weren't knocking on our door. In 2008, during the financial crisis, you guys remember that one? I had companies coming to me, wanting to buy my company to gain market share. I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. A couple months later, those companies went belly up, filed Chapter 11. Guess who got their customers? It's God's economy. It's just how it works. Anybody think that God has a financial problem? Why do we treat him that way, though? Truth. Do you trust the truth? Or is it just a good intention that I'll try? Yeah, but you don't understand. I have a lot of debt already. I have difficulties managing what I have. I have an income problem or a spending problem. Yeah, sometimes we create layers that we have to work our way out of. I get it. You got to knock and seek. Push through. There's nothing better than not being in debt. Being indebted to somebody that doesn't think the same way you do. Next slide tells us that even the if we could just go ahead and seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, then even the less important things, this is out of the Passion Translation, the less important things will be given to you abundantly. What are those less important things? Well, if you were to look at the scriptures prior to that, it's like food and drink and clothing. Do you know what your worst case scenario is when you start walking in truth with the Lord? Well, I can tell you right now, we can take the food, drink, and clothing off the table. That's how I've done a lot of things in my life, is I understand what is the worst it can be. When I asked my wife if I could leave my company leave the company I was working for, she said, I just don't want to live on the street, Cliff. I said, all right. Because food and drink and clothing is good. And I said, hey, is it okay if we move in with my mom if we had to? And she's like, yeah. Now, I had no interest in moving in with my mom, but I knew my worst case scenario. And so we went and did that. In 2018, when I stepped down as the CEO of my little baby company that is now international, and started Freedom From Within, a nonprofit, I knew. I knew that in my heart of hearts, this is the thing to do. And my income was going to go to zero. I called my financial advisor. I told him, lock it up. We're going to start from scratch. So what do you want me to do with it, Cliff? And I said, well, I don't want to be a burden on society in the future when I retire. And so we'll talk about it then. But right now, lock it up. Because the Lord is calling me down this path. And I want to bring people with me. I don't want to keep the opportunity for them to be able to invest in these people and change the legacy of the criminal. There's nothing better than, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm third generation, you know, in prison. And now all of a sudden, they start talking about how their kids are in college and they're doing well and all this other stuff. There's nothing better. And so, how can you overcome serving two masters or not worrying about the lesser things. How can you do that? Well, this is just a principle. You guys can believe it or not, it's up to you. But the next slide here talks about giving generously. It says that abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Yeah, well, when I get all the cash or when I get a bunch of extra, then I'll be generous. Certainly makes sense, but not in God's economy. I could talk all day long on generosity and how it really doesn't make sense. I call it God math. You know, I never missed a payroll, even though there was days when it's like, I don't know how we're going to make payroll. Never did. Call it God math. I had a friend of mine. He sent Sue and I to a conference called Generous Giving. You can look it up. It's an organization that just helps people learn how to be generous. They don't want your money. They just know that people are like, I don't know what God's going to do with it, so they hold on to it. It's a thing. It's a thing. But you know what? The more you're able to be a good steward, a good manager of the things that has been trusted in you, the more it's going to flow. It's just the principle. It's just how it works. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about this prosperity gospel. I'm just saying, you label whatever you want. This is just how it flows. My wife and I never missed a meal. And you know, I'm reminded about some God math. Josh was just made a comment a little bit ago. 57 grand to fix the roof. He didn't ask me to say this, but you know what? Do the math. You think that there were just 57 grand just laying around for the roof? That's called God math. All right? And in business, what you do is you take your profits, and before you start living off of those profits, you make sure that your foundational budget is full again. Your reserves are where they need to be. Can you imagine if you go home and all of a sudden you got a $57,000 bill on your waiting for you? It's probably going to mess with you. It's going to knock you off your square. So I'm just going to put a plug in there. End of year is coming up. Think about how we can fill up those reserves again. Because I know that there's a $57,000 deficit, not deficit, a debit in that reserve pile. And if you really like this church, all right, and you want to thrive and you have visions for it, I know that there's great visions that God has put on Pastor Josh and Christy's heart. Think about how you can get us to that place, because what you don't want, if you really care about him, I'm not trying to do guilt. If you really care about him, don't make him come up here and say, hey, we're totally flat out broke and I can't even pay the light bill. That'd be horrible. And so where do you start? Just more practical stuff. Next scripture talks about, if you just take care of the small stuff first, stop dealing with the big stuff. Just be good with the small stuff. Why in the world would God entrust you with all the big stuff? Is he a fool? You wouldn't do that. Just be good with the small stuff, and more will be given to you. You'll be faithful with the larger ones. He knows it. It's amazing how time and time again I'll have people come up to me, hey, Cliff, you know, I got this idea. You want to invest in me? They say, do you want to invest in the idea? I'm like, how much have you put into it? Well, nothing. I don't have anything. That's why I need investors. Okay? So what you're saying is that whatever you have, even the two small coins, you haven't put into that. You want everybody else to have the risk. But see, the reason that my wife and I, we haven't had debt for 30 plus years. The reason we do that is because we make good investments. The reason the Lord has this thing that I call God math is because he makes good investments. And he says, start with the small things. Be faithful with those things. Just start. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm just telling you. Start. Because see, if you're dishonest, or like if in your heart of hearts you're lying to yourself, I know your intentions are good, you got things you got to take care of. But it says here, we already know you're not trustworthy. Already knows. And God's not going to be the fool. I'm just telling you, he's just not going to be the fool. I mean, can you imagine the Lord saying, well, it was my good intentions to go ahead and give you something that I knew you couldn't manage, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I don't think it works that way. See, God knows how it works, and he is the master investor. See, God gives us the answers. Jesus is the way. The Holy Spirit helper is there for the asking. Are you connecting with the Holy Spirit? Have you asked him to come into your life? Have you opened up your mouth and cried out? Because if you knock, doors are going to be open. That's what it says. God's word spells out the truth, not the good intentions. God's word is truth. It's not a book of good intentions. So don't treat it that way. Years I've been in business and ministry now. It's all the same. It's all the same. Godly principles exist. You're either going to work with them or you're going to work against them. There are indicators throughout Scripture. Key indicators. Like if you go to this slide here, these are the truth key indicators. Like, can you just go ahead and just say, hey, you know what? Is there love in my life? Do I love people? Is there joy in my life? Are these evident in my life? Self-control. There are side effects when your flesh is taking over. Andrew Womack talks about how your spirit is like the engine of a train. Your soul is like the baggage car. And your body, your flesh, is like the caboose. Why do you have the caboose dictating where you go? Self-control. I encourage you to look at, in the notes, in the app, there's a couple of exercises and they're just talking about, just reflect and spend some time with the Lord on this. If you go to the next slide, this one's a little bit more offensive. These are like good intention indicators that, I don't know, it's almost like they're side effects. Like if you're dealing with some of this stuff here, just division and selfish ambitions and jealousy. And of course, this is not an all-exclusive list. We can go to other lists that if we just were to use them as a check mark, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. All right? You want to know how to love? You think you're in love with somebody? You want to get married? Young people, there's a list. 1 Corinthians 13. Check it off. Make sure that you're in love and it's not just a feel good. There's other indicators in Mark 7 where we talk about evil thoughts or unforgiveness. Getting unforgiveness is probably going to impact or slow down the principles that I talked about. Because either the truth is enough or it's not. See, if you're good with small things, more will be given to you. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one. I, for one, don't like hanging out with the evil one. So as I close here, you know, I have the advantage, several decades of walking with the Lord. And I don't mean to stand up here and say that, you know, I got it all figured out. The Lord reveals stuff to me daily, which is super awesome. But there's certain momentum that has been created that I would like people to realize that there's real power and walking with the Lord in the way that things have been designed. Young people, you know, boy, if I would have known now, if I would have known then, would I know now, right? You know, if you invest money when you're young into different financial vehicles, there's absolutely no reason. There's no reason for you guys ever to not be well past the millionaire mark. No reason. But we wait. We wait until. And so then we question, how are we going to retire and all this other stuff? See, you're God's masterpiece. Created anew in Christ Jesus for the good things that were planned long ago. My students that are in prison, they're just trying to get on that path. And God just watches them thrive once they realize who they are. You were called to create. God created you. He is the great creator, and you are in his image. And so we're also called to create. And so whether it be business or art or music, just maybe you're just really good with people. You know how to knock. Will you trust the truth, or will you trust your own good intentions?